We got so much going on today. I'm very excited about an interview we're going to be doing in about 20 minutes from right now. And that is going to be with Sheriff. His name is Sheriff Marcino. He is the sheriff of Lee County, Florida, which is where I grew up. Yesterday, we heard that Governor DeSantis was going to be sending people to help in the border struggles of Texas and Arizona. And he committed that, and he didn't have details on exactly who, how many, or when, but they were going to send help from Florida to those two states. The governors of both Texas and Arizona put the word out and said, you know, this is a national crisis, and we'd like to have some other states pitch in. Governor DeSantis, the first one to say yes. Well, one of the agencies that will be sending manpower to Arizona and to Texas is going to be the sheriff of Lee County, Florida, Sheriff Marcino. So I reached out to the sheriff's office and they have agreed to come on the show. So I will talk with the sheriff at 8:35. And of course, most of you that listen to the show know the connection that my brother and my sister-in-law both are employees, both are deputies with the sheriff's office. My sister-in-law is a deputy. My brother's a lieutenant. I guess that technically still makes him a deputy, but he is with the sheriff's office. So I have a family connection to this agency, and I think that it is very cool that where I grew up, my hometown where I grew up, is helping my home. There's a connection for me that I love the fact that this is going to happen, that they're coming to Arizona to do this. So we'll talk at 8:35 and get some of the logistics and the details. Start off this morning, though, talking about school enrollment. Enrollment is way down. And what's interesting about this is the reasons why people are saying that enrollment is down. So here it is, 38,000 students. There are 38,000 less students in charter schools and public schools. And, you know, Kathy Hoffman talked about this and want you to hear a little bit of what the superintendent said the reasons are.
The biggest reason why families have made the difficult decision to not enroll their students in our schools is due to fear of COVID-19 during the pandemic.
I don't believe that. Now, the 40%, and I believe this statistic, that she says about 40% of these students, of the 38,000, were kids in preschool and kindergarten, says fewer kids in schools takes a huge toll on the district budgets, and they're funded on a per student basis. I just think they should be doing a better job at customer service. So Superintendent Hoffman talked about where the students are going.
I think in some cases it's homeschooling. In some cases there could be more private tutoring types of options. It's possible that some of these students that were considering missing could have moved outside of Arizona.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank AZ Family. That's where we got that story from. Arizona, especially the Valley, especially where we are, this is one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation. So even if some of these kids were moving out, there are more kids moving in. The fact that we don't see any growth or minimal growth would have shown you about a drop in enrollment. But this is one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation. And we've lost 38,000 students. And notice how the emphasis there was about funding for schools. This is what it's always been about. This is where the problem lies. There are so many teachers that look at teaching children as a vocation, as a calling. Yes, they make their living that way, but it isn't about the money for them. Now, I will be the first one to say to you that I think that good teachers should be paid as much as we can possibly pay them, and we should show teachers how much we value the hard work they do. There is no doubt about that. But there is also no doubt that there has been a big push here in the state of Arizona because we are such a growing state and we do have teachers and students moving from all over the country. There has been a big push in the state of Arizona by teacher organizations to officially unionize. And this has become a business. Now, the business of teaching is different than teaching. And when you start blurring that line with the things you're doing, shutting down schools, sick outs, parents go the other way. Many more parents now are able to work from home. Parents are able to dictate their schedule in many cases. Not all of them, but because of COVID-19, there are a lot of corporations, there are a lot of businesses that are understanding that their employees are becoming more efficient and working from home. So that gives a parent an opportunity to homeschool a child or to drive a child to a different school. It has opened options for parents. And yeah, I think that there are a lot of these young children that are being homeschooled. What's funny about, and this is what is, you got to listen to the data on this very closely. What is the absolute lowest chance of spread or of danger of illness or death? And it's the youngest among us. We realize that that 20 and under category, the closer you get to preschool, the less chance any of those children have of getting COVID-19 or being in danger of being very, very ill or dying from it. Those are the statistics. So if 40% of these kindergarten kids and preschool kids, 40% of this total number is from that age group, there's got to be a better reason than fear of COVID, because we know that preschools, Montessori schools, daycare centers, they were busy. They had to figure out ways to distance and do the things they needed to do to stay open, but they did stay open through the pandemic. Anyone that thinks that there is not a bit of a political fallout in the teachers doing what they did, look no further than this 38,000 student loss. 38,000 doesn't sound like a big number when you take into account all of the students we have in public schools in Arizona, except we should be growing by a bigger number than that, because we have so many people moving into the state of Arizona. So it's not just the attrition of losing 38,000. It's also not counting for the gains we've made because of the people that moved here. They've washed out the gains and lost 38,000. And that's what the reality is here. So unless teaching, unless education understands that if you want to run it like a business, the parents are your customers, whether it's critical race theory or these other things that parents are fighting back. The silver lining on the dark cloud in education during the pandemic, because the children were kept away from each other, the silver lining just might be the wake-up call to the parents, because parents were able to watch their children's classes. They were able to hear what their teachers were teaching. They were able to hear how their teachers were teaching. And a lot of parents are pushing back, not just in Arizona, across the country. If you haven't seen the viral video yet, there's a black man that stood up at a council meeting, at an education meeting, school board meeting, and said, just denounced critical race theory. And he said, you know, when you're telling people that this group of people are oppressors and you should hate them, or that you're oppressed, or that you're never going to get anywhere because white people aren't going to let you. These are his words, not mine. He said, how did I get 2 medical degrees if I was oppressed? And it's gone viral because parents across the country don't want to see division taught in schools. There's a lot of things we don't want to see happen. That's just one of them. There is a long way to go in education in Arizona. There's no doubt about that. An absolute long way to go in education. And I think most people recognize that. But one of the steps that's got to be taken is that there is work to do on both sides. And parents ultimately are the ones that are in charge of the children. And to all of the teachers out there that are just trying to do their jobs without getting involved in the politics of teaching, they finally are starting to see some parents on their side. And parents are voting with their feet. This is a big story. This is a big deal. And Kathy Hoffman, the superintendent, is 100% right when she says a drop in enrollment does damage to budgets. Well, they're going to have to start reassessing what they're doing with the parents, because the parents are ultimately making the decision. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take a quick break. Coming up in a moment, we are going to talk to Sheriff Marcino from Lee County, Florida, and we're going to talk to him about sending men and women to Arizona and Texas to help with the border issue, what that's going to look like and how it's going to happen. All that's coming up in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time. Great news as the governors of both Arizona and Texas put the word out around the country asking for help, saying that the border issue is not just for border states, but across the nation as well, and put the word out there and asking other governors to step up and help. The first one to answer that call was Governor Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida, and there were small only very few details of what was going to happen or who would be sent, they would be sending. But one of the counties that is sending deputies or sending personnel to Arizona and Texas is my hometown of Fort Myers, Florida, or Lee County and the Sheriff's Department, where my brother and my sister-in-law both are employed. Joining us right now is the Sheriff of Lee County, Sheriff Marcino. First of all, Sheriff, it's very special to me that the home I've been in for 26 and a half years is being helped by my hometown where I grew up and loved so much. So for me personally and from the people in Arizona, thank you for stepping up and answering this call.
Hey, Mike, first, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to hear and meet you. Your brother's a rock star. He does a great job. He's part of my family, and so are you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we're very proud of him. And, you know, I don't want to get too personal in this interview, but my brother's always been my hero, and he's been, you know, first one in our family to graduate from college. And I know he's very proud of the sheriff's office, and I'm glad you recognize his service. Let's talk about the people that you're sending to Arizona and Texas. Do you have a number of people? Is it going to be on a volunteer basis? And how long do you think they'll be staying, and when will they leave?
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, it's the right thing to do. Our great governor, Ron DeSantis, and our great attorney general, we work together as a team. And there is no I in team. And what we do is when our Texas administration or, you know, our Arizona administration calls upon us, we are going to help because it's the right thing to do. So I'm very confident the governor's going to iron out the details. He advised it's going to be about a 16-day, you know, assignment. The assignments are not clear right now, but the call was clear. It was made, and absolutely we're stepping up.
You know, the one of the things that's been talked about by our governor quite often, and the same with the governor from Texas, is that this is a national issue. As the border crisis continues, we are helping to enrich the cartels because they're charging huge amounts of money and they're enriching themselves. And then they're able to have their crime syndicates be more powerful. You have to be feeling some of that in Florida as well.
What we do, and first and foremost, when you look at the fentanyl and meth being up 230% at the border, you look at 3,000% increase in sexual predators, okay, that's unacceptable. You know, my message is clear for other people. You know, when you go to bed at night, do you lock your front door or you take it off the hinges and leave it open? Do you protect you and your family? Because safety and security is always number one. In this state, we're going to make sure we have it.
Yeah, and that's what we are so happy about here, because the call went out for people, and it was great that Florida stepped up. Did the governor put the word out on a volunteer basis to agencies, or how was it figured out which counties would be sending people? I know there's Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Highway Patrol, but did individual agencies volunteer to do this?
So, you know, first of all, and I say great governor, I don't just say that to say it. He is amazing, making the most difficult decisions during the pandemic and continues every single day to prove why our state is great. And why do people, 900 plus people a day, move to our state? It's not just the sunshine. It's because of law and order and safety. And, you know, when our governor calls, we talk regularly. When he calls and he shows law enforcement support, no matter what, he stands with us. He supports us. Our attorney general does the same thing. So when they call us and ask, there's no hesitation. It's immediate because it's the right thing to do. People will try to say, oh, it's political. It's not political. When you do what's right, you're doing it because it's right. It's not a political move. And I applaud our governor and support him 1,000,000% for doing what's tough and making those decisions. And we stand with him.
So the decisions within your agency of who you will send and how many you will send, will you be taking volunteers for those positions?
Well, you know what? We got to find out how many and what that looks like. We're never going to compromise the safety of our residents locally. We have plans in place. We're going to communicate with our governor. And once we find out that number, I'll tell you already, people are listening. People have watched it on the news. And we have tons and tons. And again, I love our veterans, people that served our country. Tons of people that are veterans that say, hey, please, let me go. Let me go. They all want to go for the better cause. And that's a great thing to have. And I know I respect them tremendously.
When you in the capacity of your job, because I know we deal with it here, what I do in my capacity on the air is talk about policing and the understaffing that we suffer here. Is there, you're not going to allow a staffing issue, but do you have staffing issues in Lee County?
So, you know, when I first came into command, we were a little over 120 positions down. I'll tell you now, thankfully, morale is the highest it's ever been. We actually have a waiting list. Everyone is literally wanting to come aboard, and they want to serve. And in this day and age, when you turn that TV on and you see everywhere USA, their problems, thankfully, We don't have that here, and we don't. We have law and order, and what they do have is a sheriff and administration that stands with them and backs them and allows them to do their job.
You know, Sheriff, I get home a couple of times a year, and I hope someday I get to meet you. My brother speaks so highly of you, and I appreciate the time on the air. And from everybody in Arizona, we want to thank Lee County for stepping up and sending people to do this.
Hey, united we stand. That's why we're a great country. There's no cost you can put on saving lives and protecting lives, and we're there together.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
That is Sheriff Carmine Marcino from Lee County, Florida, my hometown, and a very great sense of support for law enforcement, for the rule of law. I'm just glad that they're doing this. It's unfortunate that we're sending the call out this way. This is a federal issue. I'm glad that he said that it's not political, because I don't believe that it is. I think the issue of border security in Arizona is one we all share. There is a complex issue when it comes to all things to do with the border. We understand, and I totally understand, that there is an absolute need for comprehensive immigration reform. I think we need to do a better job with our immigration system in this country. But what the sheriffs talked about huge percentage rise in fentanyl coming across the border and methamphetamines coming across the border, but also the couple of 1,000% increase in sex trafficking that's coming across the border. It affects not just Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California. This is something that affects us nationwide. And so securing the border and sending a message that we will is something I think that is a strong message that needs to be sent, number one. But we also, after sending that message, need to do something to solve our immigration issues. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I am thrilled that people are answering the call, and maybe others will. No one is looking for a battle. And I mean a physical battle. No one's looking for a war. What people are looking for is security. And our police agencies in border towns are suffering and being overwhelmed because they don't have the firepower and they don't have the manpower that the cartels do. And so our state is stretched thin. We have the Border Strike Force with our Highway Patrol. But having other people here that are saying we understand this is a national issue is encouraging. So a big thank you to Sheriff Marcino from Lee County in Florida. And I'm very thankful that he took the time out to come on this morning. In a moment, we talk with Gatos. It's the Big Q poll question of the day. And then we will talk about President Biden and the tax plan with one of our Arizonans' own congressman, Schweikert. All that's coming up in just a few moments.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
What's going on, Mike Broomhead?
What's going on with you? How'd the haircut go?
Oh, are you ready for this? This is funny.
Okay.
So I joined you yesterday. I wasn't on the Gatos 3000 because I went to get my hair did, right?
Right.
So last night, my wife and I are going to one of our favorite restaurants, eat dinner, and we get up. And we're walking out, and one guy is sitting there with his son, and he looks at me and goes, great haircut. And so I look at him and I'm like, because, you know, it's end of the day and I'm not thinking right. And I'm like, how the world does this guy know that I got a haircut today? And I couldn't figure it out. And I stared at the guy. He probably thought I was nuts. And he goes, I was listening to you with Broomhead yesterday. And I was like, that's fantastic.
That is good. That's good.
Yeah, he says he's a bigger fan of me than you.
Of course, he said that to your face.
No, he never said that. I think he said the other thing. I think he said it the other way around.
Okay.
That he really liked you. And I said, listen, Junior, I just had dinner. You're talking about my hair. Do I look approachable to you?
Right. Exactly. Leave me alone. You had one of those red bracelets on, right?
Oh, gosh. Do you hear about that stuff? My goodness.
I would think you would love that.
I think I would. So it's the, what is it? Red, green,
and yellow.
Yeah, I'd probably put the red on because I'm like, listen.
Right.
I think that
if there's a way to do this in bars, it would help people out in dating immensely. Girls that wanted to be left alone in bars could wear the red wristbands. Yellow would proceed with caution, and a green light, buy me all the drinks you want. That might be beneficial.
It could, but I'm not wearing one of those stupid bracelets. I'm going to go talk to people, and I'm going back to normal. I even said this yesterday with Chris Paul. I think he should play even if he is testing positive for COVID, because the vaccine, you're not going to give it off. And I said, listen, if Chad got COVID, I'd still do the show with him in the studio because we're both vaccinated. I'm not going to get it.
Right. I agree.
That's how good these vaccines are. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried either. So, yeah, I think you're right. They should let him play.
I think they should let him play.
What do you got for a question? What do you have for us?
So two big records were set Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Which is the most unfortunate one? All right. You've got Phoenix hits 118 degrees. So we shattered the daily record of 114 that was set in 2015. So we hit 118. Or D-backs lose 23 straight road games, which is the most unfortunate one.
I think the most unfortunate one is the D-backs.
They're terrible.
They are, and I feel bad. You know, they're rebuilding their farm system, but it's sad for D-backs fans right now.
There was a play in the game, and it was like a little league play. You know, like if you hit the ball between center field and right field, and it's a pop-up, but it's in the middle, and you're not sure who's going to catch it, and then you both run for the ball, and then you both stop running, and the ball drops right between you.
Right.
That happened with the Diamondbacks yesterday. And
well,
center
fielder's supposed to make the call.
Center fielder's supposed to make the call. Absolutely, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes there's no call. Yeah. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, my goodness, I don't think they're going to win a road game for the rest of the season. I think if you've got this, if you've got 23 in a row, let's go 46 in a row. Let's see what happens.
Why not?
If I'm the manager, I let the pitcher hit first on the road. Why not? You can't do any worse. It doesn't matter.
You make me laugh, man. I'll be listening this afternoon. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man.
Thanks, Gatos. The BQ poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Congressman David Schweikert joins me coming up just after 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about the economy because the tax increases are being pushed through. What do they look like? How bad will they be? All that's coming up next.